how we admit this entire action so that we get a sense of whether the plans that we had for last year, your own APTs, whether they were achieved. Just a broad overview on what you had planned and how far you achieved those plans. And you will know we never interacted with you last year on your quarterly reporting or your performance per quarter. We did interact with the department, and in fact we just finalized the fourth quarter last week or so. Now we are interacting with all entities. Last week we interacted with some parks and the source. This week we are interacting with the Sandy and also Ismangaliso. Again, thank you very much for making yourself available to undertake this important review. You'll understand that whilst this might be water under the bridge, but we want to make you understand that we are very interested in that water under the bridge, what we are going to do now. But also in preparation for what we are going to do this year, because when your annual report comes, 2015-16, at least there must be a sense by us who are oversighting you whether we are on course or not on course, so that we don't just collide with your annual report and we have not had a sense whether you are able to implement your own plans and your own strategies. So broadly, that's what we are here to do. Get how you implemented your plans for the year that has passed, but also in preparation for the current year. As you will understand, one other difficulty we had last year, we also needed to get to understand what the entities do and what the department does, because many of us were failing you in this portfolio. So we spend most of the time, again, getting the department to brief us on what they do. We think now we have got a better understanding. And armed with that understanding, we have been able to oversight you, also to look at whether you are able to meet the mandate that you carry, but also you are also able, through meeting that mandate, able to implement the plans that you yourself crafted for the year that is passed, and of course we will be calling you soon to get implementation and performance on the plans you have for this year. With those words, we then welcome all of you. I know that the PC has given us an apology. If there is any board who's been heading on behalf of the DG, all entities that are here, we hand over. Is that you, Fumba? We then hand over to you, acting director.
Thanks, we have the two entities here today. There is an apology from the CEO of Sandy. Unfortunately, has another odd subcommittee in dealing with HR issues, including the influenza issue, which was presented 2 weeks ago as a critical issue. But we do have the CEO of Simangaliso and his team. But the Sandy team is also here to do the presentation. So I'm sure on that basis we can then take it. I believe that the minister could join us.
Okay, so we, in the absence of the CEO, if we can then get whoever will then be presenting on behalf of Sandy, also it would be good just to have an understanding of the colleagues that are here from Sandy, maybe also from Simangaliso, so that we just start the also introduction. I think by now you should know all the members. We don't have to go through the repertoire of saying who's with the zoo. But you know the members, these are all members in the Portfolio Committee on Environmental Affairs. You are therefore welcome. Can you get introductions from Isman Aliso first, then Sandy, and after the introduction, then they can then start with the presentation.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. Good morning, members and colleagues. My name is Andrews Loomis. I'm the CEO of Isman Aliso. On my left, I have Peter Kadir, who is our CFO, and on my right, I have Terry Cassis, who is our Business Director. Thank you.
Sandy.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Carmela Mbizo. I'm Head of Branch for Biodiversity Science and Policy Advice. And together with me, on my right, is Dr. Seb Rafal, who's our Director in BASIS, our BASIS program. And on my left is Chris Willis, who is Chief Director for our National Botanical Gardens. And next to him is our Director of Finance, Alan Smith. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Well, let's welcome you, Minister. Also. Can you then get the presenter? Will you present the one for Sunday? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and morning to Honourable Minister and all Portfolio Committee members. I'm going to take you through a snapshot of how Sandy has performed over the year 2014-15. And just to say in opening, Chair, we had a very good year in terms of achieving our targets. We did have some challenges, and as I take you through, I will highlight where we had some challenges. Chair, I'm going to give you a summary of our strategic plan and achievements. I'll take you through the background and key information. And just to remind us all about Sandy's legislative policy mandate and how we report on our mandate, I'll talk about our role in brief, and then I'll take you through the programs, the objectives, the performance indicators and targets, and I'll show you where we have achieved, where we have partially achieved, where we have not achieved, and in some cases exceeded. Chair, our vision is biodiversity richness for all South Africans, and we try to achieve that by championing the exploration, conservation, sustainable use, appreciation and enjoyment of South Africa's exceptionally rich biodiversity for all people. As you are aware, Chair, we are Schedule 3A public entity. We report to the Minister of Environment. Our Minister and Cabinet appoint our board, who is our accounting authority. Like other public entities, we're subject to the PSMA and other Treasury regulations. Chair, we are not subject to public service regulations, but we use most of the prescripts. And currently we have around 700 staff, which includes our, in addition to that, we have 946 Kunsa Benta pioneers who are hosted both within Sandy and amongst our host institution partners. And we now have 10 National Botanical Gardens, which includes our two new gardens, which I will talk to, and our head office is in Pretoria. In summary, Chair, our policy and legal framework is the National Environmental Management Biodiversity Act. We play a key role in South the member regulations, including threatened or protected species, CITES, through our National Scientific Authority and the Alien Invasive Species Regulations. We also have obligations in terms of the National Biodiversity Framework and the National Biodiversity Strategic Action Plan, which is currently being updated and we've made input into the draft. We also have obligations in terms of our Minister's Delivery Agreement through Outcome 10 and our medium-term strategic framework targets. And I will just quickly show how we contribute to that. And then, Chair, we also play a role in terms of supporting the Climate Change Response Paper, and we are an implementing entity for the Adaptation Fund. Chair, we're Chair. We report on our mandates and our deliverables through the strategic plan and the annual performance plan. We have a governance protocol agreement with GEAR that guides our governance, and our progress is reported through our annual performance plan through our quarterly charters. In summary, Chair, the diagram that I've set represents Sandy's value chain. It just provides a nice summary around what we do and how we try to ensure that what we do contributes, influences national government priorities all the way up to human well-being, improved service delivery, job creation. The foundation from what we work is through our taxonomy, our systematic work. We build on that up to our biodiversity knowledge, and the knowledge that we generate helps us to do the assessments, to look at our biodiversity status, what are the trends, and allow us to produce our monitoring reports to our minister on the status of South Africa's biodiversity. We use the evidence that we generate through our research to provide policy advice and support and to develop policy tools. And Chair, our pillar is our human capital development, our people. So building the skills and building our young scientists, giving them the opportunities is a critical pillar for SADI. Also, what we see as another strong pillar is our gardens, which provide the windows onto South Africa's biodiversity and also helps us to generate income, our own income. This slide provides a summary of how SANDI, which is represented at the bottom through the program, is aligned with GEAR's outcomes and our medium-term strategic framework. So we ensure that when we're putting together our targets and performance indicators, we're making a contribution and we aligned with our medium-term strategic plan, the medium-term strategic framework. Through that, Chair, we're very aware of the goals and the outcomes for the National Development Plan, and we've mapped those out to show how our projects and our programs make a contribution to the outcomes in the National Development Plan. We have six programs, Chair, which reflect all the deliverables of our mandate. The first one is our operational program, which is around rendering effective and efficient corporate services. The second program is around the National Botanical Gardens to manage and unlock those benefits. The third one is to provide the scientific evidence to support our policy and decision making. The third is to coordinate access to biodiversity. And the fifth is around our policy support tools and methodology. And last but not least is all the human capital education and awareness programs. I'm going to take you through program one, Chair, and give you an indication of the targets that we've achieved and the targets that we didn't achieve. So starting with our first strategic objective, which is around compliant financial management systems and policies. Chair, our big indicator around that was to have an unqualified audit, and we achieved that. Sorry, Chair, I've missed the slide. my eyes are a bit weak, so I'm going to read from my hard copy. The first one is around our staff, and it's the percentage of qualifying staff on our science and horticulturalist career path. We have implemented our science scientist career path, And we achieved our target. We now have 70% of our staff placed on the career bar and being assessed according to their progress on it. One of the targets that we didn't totally achieve was around our horticulturists. So we've been developing the career ladder for our horticulturists, but a work study needed to be carried out for us to really properly design a horticulturalist career ladder. This wasn't anticipated when we put together the target, but we've now conducted that work study. But the end result was that we didn't totally achieve what we had set out to achieve in terms of placing those horticulturalists on the career ladder. In terms of the percentage of payroll allocated to staff development, we achieved this. In terms of the percentage of employment equity targets achieved, we partially achieved this. We achieved 45%, not the 60% that we had planned. And the main reason for this variation was that we were not able to fill all the vacant posts due to budget constraints, which meant that in terms of recruitment, we didn't do all the recruitment that we wanted. Greg, I've broken down for you, and maybe we can come back to this if you'd like us to discuss this, but this just provides a breakdown in terms of how we did on our employment equity. I focused here on top and senior management, and we were quite pleased that we were able to make good progress in terms of an improvement from March 2014 to March 2015. And here I've also provided a breakdown in terms of gender. We're managing to make progress there, and you can see our gender distribution is getting to where we want it to be. Check, still on program one, I mentioned our annual financial statements. We managed to achieve a target around an unqualified audit. In terms of our risk management, we were able to achieve that target in terms of our risk assessment being completed. In terms of compliance with our Sandy Deer governance protocol, we were closely monitored on this on a quarterly basis that year, and we managed to achieve that target. In terms of our IT, we made quite a big improvement here on our IT, and we did achieve that our ICT services were available. Moving on, Chair, still on Program 1, in terms of our communication and marketing, Chair, we did very well in terms of promoting Sandy's profile. We made quite a big improvement on previous years, and we achieved all those targets on communication and marketing. Chair, if I could move on to Program 2, which is about managing and unlocking the benefits of our National Botanical Gardens. Chair, this target was around the establishment of our new National Botanical Gardens. We did not achieve this in full. We had some issues around staffing for our Toyando Botanical Garden, around staffing, and Chair, this matter has actually now been resolved. but we didn't manage to resolve it within the time frame of this reporting period. But that led us not to achieve that. In terms of the other targets here, we achieved that our professional team was appointed for the development of our new Eastern Cape garden in Kwelega. Chair, in terms of the target around acquisition of land by Sandy, this is additional land for the establishment of the Eastern Cape garden. We did have some challenges around that in terms of the application for subdivision. Chair, in terms of the target new National Botanical Garden in Eastern Cape proclaimed and gazetted, we were very pleased to end the year with this having been achieved. Moving on to our next performance indicator, which is around 20 new indigenous plant species added to our collections, our living collections in our gardens. We achieved that. Share in terms of the incentive income generated by our gardens to collect these indigenous plants, we also achieved that target. Share in terms of our visitor numbers to our garden and the generation of our own income, you'll note here that we exceeded the target quite dramatically in terms of visitor numbers. It was unanticipated when we set this target. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, it's the next slide. Sorry. So, Chair, what I'm referring to is the target on annual increase in visitor numbers, and you can see that we dramatically exceeded this target. When we set this target, Chair, we had just started on the worm's lung and really didn't anticipate that it would create so much interest so quickly. And you can see that, it's allowed us to really bring in numbers. We also benefited, Chair, that from the fact that tourists visiting South Africa and especially Cape Town during this period also increased in number. So quite an unusual case this year where you have such a big difference between what we anticipated and how we ended the year. And here, for the same reasons, our increase in own income, our gate takings and that, you see we only anticipated, our target was 4% and we exceeded it dramatically for those very same reasons. So if we could move on to program 3, which is providing scientific evidence to support policy and decision making. Chair, we did very well in this program. We achieved, I think, Chair, all of our targets in program 3. And if I could very quickly take you through the targets, in terms of number of data sets compiled and updated, we were able to develop the two inventories on animal species and also on plants. Our inventory on our gardens biodiversity was updated and with new records and information. We managed to develop two new classification systems. Also, here we made good progress in terms of our spatial data set, and our monitoring database was also updated. and we achieved the set target there. So if we could move on to the next slide. Chair, we were very pleased that our target around 90 publications was produced, because we did lose some of our staff, but we were able to still reach that target. Our preliminary reports on assessment of biodiversity-based ecosystem services and coral bleaching as an indicator of climate change was done. Our priority species target was achieved, and here in terms of our alien invasive species, we were able to reach our target of 50% of species assessed. So, Chair, if you could allow me, I'm going to move on now to Program 4. Program 4 is all around coordinating and providing access to biodiversity information and knowledge, and we were able to have our 5% cumulative increase in records assessed. We also were able to achieve our target around a 5% cumulative increase in our registered users on our Biodiversity Advisor website. Our second to last program, Chair, is Program 5, and this is all around our policy support tools and the policy advice that we provide. Chair, we were able to meet our target around producing two policy tools and also six knowledge resources that demonstrate the value of our biodiversity. We also had four learning events around our policy support, and three learning sessions were held for provincial and municipal decision makers. So we managed to achieve those targets. Also, under Program 5, we had a target around our wetlands under rehabilitation. Chair, we ended up exceeding this target. It's often quite a difficult target to achieve. We were able to exceed the target, and our reason is that some unforeseen maintenance needed to be done, and we were able to respond to this, and that resulted in us having five more wetlands under rehabilitation. It's still under Program 5 on the next slide. This is where we respond to requests from our department in a timely way. We were able to achieve these targets. Our scientific authority report to our minister, which is done on an annual basis, we were able to do that on time. And we were able to support, in terms of our biodiversity plan, two processes. Chair, still on Program 5 on policy support, once again we achieved these targets. In terms of two project concepts approved by the Adaptation Fund for the National Implementing Entity, we were very happy that these were both approved, and our four written requests relating to our multilateral environmental agreements, we were able to respond to those. In terms of our climate change adaptation pilot project, these were approved, so funding was approved for those two project concepts. And Chair, we had a number of really good opportunities to share our lessons as a national implementing entity, both at international, at SADC level and at national level, on how South Africa is doing in terms of being a national implementing entity, and that was very well received right up to the global level. Chair, moving on to the last program, which is around human capital development and our education and awareness program. Chair, in this year, with regards to Frundabenza, this was the first year where we actually did make good progress in terms of recruiting them and placing them in host institutions. You are aware that now as we're coming towards the end of the program, we are having challenges around achieving the final numbers, but that's to do with this current year, Chair, and not the reporting period. Chair, also in terms of ensuring that we have representation of all designated groups in our human capital development programs, we were actually able to exceed our target there. Our target was 75%. We managed to achieve 84.3%. And Chair, this is really just trying to ensure that we age, race, gender, and ensuring also that we have participants also from rural areas. Is reflected in those programs. Chair, we also did exceptionally well in terms of attracting our school children and other beneficiaries into the gardens by having Frundabenza pioneers working with us in this area. That increased capacity allowed us to actually bring in more school children into the garden. So we were able to exceed that target. And then, Chair, our work around civil society engagement in terms of monitoring our biodiversity, we continue to make quite exciting progress there. We facilitated another platform, and this includes our citizen science initiatives. Chair, if I could summarize for you then overall how we did in terms of achieving our targets, you will note that we had a total of 48 targets. We achieved 38 of them. We did exceed some, but I guess more importantly, Chair, we had two targets that we didn't achieve, and two targets where we did make some progress, for example, around the garden in Toyando, but we didn't totally achieve those targets. So, Chair, that's just a snapshot of how we ended the year in terms of our performance. And if I could just summarize, Chair, for you just very quickly some of the major achievements. We were very happy to go into our fifth year of an unqualified audit. We did well in terms of overall delivery on targets and achieved our equity targets. We had the opportunity in terms of our senior management profile, just in that year we were able to make quite significant improvement in terms of our senior management profile by appointing 6 black managers. Chair, we are very pleased to have a very highly functioning board, to have achieved our BE targets. And Chair, in terms of leveraging from our MTA funding and bringing in other funding from donors, other government departments, and the private sector, we did well. We managed to continue to mobilize good funding. We for one of our best GEF Global Environment Facility, our Grasslands program, we ended the year very well with a highly satisfactory rating for that donor project, and that allows us with that good standing to continue to mobilize our donor funding. Jay, we celebrated 10 years of Sandy, and we were very pleased to mark 2014 with some exceptional achievements for those 10 years, that decade of 10 years. And Chair, we, in terms of our science and our policy work, we've captured that in a publication which highlights some of our big achievements in terms of our science and policy support work. We're very proud, Chair, that we were able to support our minister in terms of outcome 10 with the establishment of the gardens. And like I said to you, Chair, we had record numbers in terms of visitors and income. Chair, we do have challenges, and I don't want to dwell on that because, you know, this is really about last year's performance, but just to mention that we are looking at our new challenges and trying to turn them into opportunities. You are aware of our challenges around getting those jobs created under Runza Benza, so we need that target. The strategic environment infrastructure programs, the SIF chair, is a wonderful opportunity for us, and we're ensuring that we take advantage of that by bringing in the new skills that we need to deliver on the strategic environmental assessment. Chair, the new invasive species regulations requires new financial and human resources, and we have requested the department to provide us with funding so we can meet our obligations in terms of these regulations. And last but not least, Chair, we know that we need to now really plan very carefully around our human resources and our financial resources to establish these two new gardens. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. You see, when you go on and on and we don't disturb you, you must know that you are listening attentively. And we can see progress. And again, there is a flow on how your entity is indeed meeting its mandate, but also being an important part of the Department of Environmental Affairs. So, as you have said, we are quite happy that these are things that are happening, but it's again, I think from our side, more than anything else, this prepares us to engage with you in the current year, financial year. But again, the engaging with you has been noted what type of an institution you are. Of course, we have looked at your annual report, we do have your annual report. But now we are quite certain, hearing you detailing what your plans were, how that annual report came to be crafted, and how you even got those in audit from the Auditor General. Colleagues, without any waste of time, any one of you want to raise any matter? Have you know?
No, thanks very much, Chris. I also welcome the report and the update. But often when targets are not met by the different entities, we seldom hear what are the implications. For example, if the horticultural target was not met, obviously for me, the implication would be an adverse effect on what we should do in terms of the research, which is designed to promote efficiency in the growing of harvest and storage of crops, especially gardening science around all time. Those are the implications. But often they are not cited. So in future, I would want just to get into the implications so that we meet the target. That will go as well, Chair, for the human resource. Your target was 60%, and then you only met 40%. You are citing budgetary constraints. Then the question arises, What about the smart criteria of setting targets?
So it's a matter of that setting targets and not following the smart criteria, like targets be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. And so when it goes with the target, that if the target was 4%, you need to be 5%. It's over. So that would be just my concern around the target. But to be specific, I don't think budgetary constraints can be plausible, because you must cut your quota according to your way. So why then target higher when you know your budget is not going to meet it there? So it's poor planning, as far as I'm concerned. Lastly, it's around effective communication. I see the total number of publications and newspapers, commercials, etc. Obviously, these newspapers will reach the urban centers in the main. We are always concerned, we are rural buyers. And we know that in most of the provinces, in the rural areas, there are free newspapers, community papers. And some of us from our constituencies, we have access to those papers. But we seldom see these programs in community newspapers. Are there specific plans from your side to ensure that? I know there are too many. You can't be in all the newspapers, but you get in the Sunday Times. Who reads the Sunday Times? Who reads the Sunday Independent? Who reads the Mail Guardian? Only the elite. So if that area can also be covered, thanks, Chef. Basically, it was more common. Yeah. Thanks, Chef. Thanks.
Any other colleagues? Well, when you, these members, when they don't ask questions, again, it simply means that, you see, but that's the other thing that we would like to get as members. That when we sit with an entity, we also get satisfaction. We also can feel deep down in our hearts that this exercise that we are undertaking is not an exercise in futility. But I think you also feel very good inside that the body that is entrusted by our constitution for you to report to, apart from the exercise, of course you report to the executive, but you also have to report to Parliament, this body is heading the work that you do. And indeed, again, it is a plausible presentation, but it also speaks to what you achieved last year through the audit. Opinions of the Auditor General. So, Honourable Minister, again, thank you for bringing this entity that is working so well. But I could see that you had your hand up. I think you'll respond to some of the issues that you raised. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chen, Honourable Members, colleagues. I thought I should just touch on one or two issues. That I think are quite important in assisting to understand the kind of predicament that all of us function in. You would have heard from this entity, you would have also heard from department, you would have also heard from, I think, another, the Sunpass last week, when they were saying financial constraints. Financial constraints. You will still hear this issue, and it's very much unrelated to me. Because here in South Africa, as we plan cutting our cloth in accordance to our size, which is what we see as a bare necessity of things that we must do in communities in order for us to actually meet certain challenges that are prevalent in there within the finances that are indicatively given, and I'm emphasizing indicative. You often find that at the end of the financial year or towards the end of the financial year, which is October last year, when we do any budget, there's a drawback of finances from Treasury. Again, as we do any budget, because we look at collectively, when I say we, I don't want to say Treasury, because many of us tend to accuse Treasury when we're in budget meetings. We then say there is a shortage on pay schools, construction, say whatever. Something that without which you can't do. in that, and that always affects, firstly, the area where you have to fill in new staff, where you don't have new members already in such. That's where we say, you'll find that there's an agreement that let's rather freeze this post and not use this post for a particular time. So the HR issue, you'll always come across it in that sense, as long as we are in these few years of financial challenges caused by the world's economic turbulence, if you like. You would have seen, the first thing that President and us said, that is that all the posts that you are filling this year, don't fill them this year, we'll have to consider them in the outer years when you come in. So that's the first thing HR, I thought I should actually touch on. There is one reason, you see it here, you see it, and we're heading even last week. Second thing, one thing that we didn't bring across, some externalities share. I know that there's a success already in this particular issue, but there was a transformation related matter in the Toyando Botanical Garden as we were to establish it, because we were all of a sudden hit with a very serious challenge that the team in Limpopo said, we have people in here, put to it, take all of them. Some of them, the salaries were very high, and they were to be absorbed as they are. We didn't agree, for instance, that, you know, a person who is probably in another field completely, security or something, comes along with the botanical garden, where we need highly skilled people or training people in that direction. There's somebody that you may not even be able to retrain to be a horticulturist, for instance. And then let you absorb those people. So those were the negotiations which we're actually getting into with Limpopo province. I'm glad that the team has, that they escalated upwards. What they delegated upwards, and I told them to go and resolve this matter. So they have fortunately finally done that, even without me and the Premier meeting. So it was one of the issues that were really hamstrung this issue. You will hear also that there's an invasive and alien species regulations that are to be implemented. Quite a huge tall order. Okay, this is one of the things that I want to suggest that you bring to the PC for the portfolio committee. These regulations, so that you actually go through them and maybe even talk to the community and society about them. They are very, very involved. They're going to be highly costly. We're not underestimating that. It's a must-do. But we understand also that it can't be a must-do in 1 year. In 5 years, it's got to be phased in as you go in. So you got to come across this thing. And many of us may still even say, but why are you even waiting to fix this in? Because it's drinking our water, it's damaging our environment. It's one of those things that are really, if you like, they are at the same equal importance like your education system. If you don't educate your children, it's the same as you don't have a future if you don't have water, you have a degraded length because of the invasive species and so forth. So it's quite important. So we need to elevate and profile this part of work that we do. Because very few people understand exactly. They think that we're just hugging trees and shoots and whatever. And yet these are actually very, very important things that we have to do. So together with yourself, I think we need to work on profiling this part so that at least there can be an understanding, better understanding and a better increasing of finances. The issue about the implications, it's like if we say implications of not having autocratic rules, I agree that wherever we have not have reached our targets, we should say what are the implications. But I just wanted to talk to the implication in this instance, even though it's not quite written. You know, we have taken 800 young people, some of whom how many are graduates and postgraduates?
500.
Just close your eyes and imagine 500 young people sitting out there with degrees and masters, some of them, in these fields of conservation and not having anywhere to go. So we have made a plan to work with a Dutch fund, to adopt them and attach them to these institutions of ours across Santa, Sandy, everybody, wherever they do any job experience, area there. We tend to get another round of those. But through those, we do think that that's a way to get to a horticulture, because it's not something that even in our education system now, you can say you see the emergence of horticulture specialists. So we've got to entice them, and it's got to happen you know, and he did acknowledge that we actually started a bit late, unfortunately. But we hope that as we go on, it will actually catch up and get, even amongst these new ones that are now graduates and post-grad, even double degrees and so forth, amongst them also being in touch to get into horticulture direction. But I do agree that we need to come back to deal with the implications all the time. Some of the implications are really related to our own historical background as a country. We didn't find all of us interested in it. I don't think any of us in school knew that there was anything like horticulture as we were growing up. We couldn't even take that course, so it's part of that kind of historical coherence. Thank you.
Thank you. By the way, it's people who are doing something who might not be able to do everything at a given point in time. And all that we would then want from you, as Minister has said, is just to say, what are the implications for us not having achieved 1, 2, 3? Because we don't expect you to achieve everything. Life doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. Life works in a funny way. But it's only people who are at work who will not be able to do certain things. As long as you explain why you have not, and secondly, what are the implications. And you're right, Minister, we are equally worried about the Humsebenza project. We just hope that we will win with those young ones being placed, those that we could not place. We just hope that we'll be able to. And by the way, Minister, you were not here when we received broadly where we just discussed with somebody on what they do, and the CEO raised this matter very sharply. Where we can assist, we're available. Where we can assist the portfolio committee, you are right, Minister. Where you have got people who have the necessary skills, unfortunately, for every reason, can't be adopted. And now they've got to go back to their environments, to their families, empty-handed. It's not a nice thing. We can agree with you on that matter. But probably, colleagues, again, you have answered the question on budgetary constraints. We will also know, even this financial year, whilst we have planned to fill certain positions, but then because of the economic meltdown, we were then requested to contribute 100% from our budget to other needy programs. And of course, that limited us doing certain things. And the only way we could get that percentage, 1% or so, was in the main from the human resource programs. So that yes, we understand. But having said that, we just wanted to, again, let's reiterate that when you come to us and you deal with what you did last year, which is bridge, water under the bridge, I nearly said bridge under the water, and now I'm not English, water under the bridge, but one thing that remains with us is that we are dealing with an entity that knows what it's doing. So that remains with us. And as we interact with you in the current year, you come to us with this understanding that we know that we are dealing with an entity who knows what they are doing and what their responsibilities are, an entity that all of us can be proud of as a country. So, Minister, again, let's reiterate this. We are quite proud of you as an entity, Sandin. Of course, we also went to you. We saw all those wonderful things, how you keep these species for years and years and years. What do you call it, and also what new terms, Tazanon. So we are now more schools, you know. But again, thank you, and thank you on behalf of the team. Thank you very much. Indeed, we know that you have been with so many other areas of work. We would like to keep you here if you've got to leave. You can go and do other duties that you are assigned to do. Now, thank you very much. Who was presenting? We can hear you, can have your word, your last word.
Thank you very much, Chair. We really appreciate the guidance and the support. Thank you.
Wonderful. Minister, we have another entity that is also reporting to you. that is reporting to you that failure to report Mangaliso. But of course, we know, Minister, if you also have other things to... No problem at all. But the effort that the department has made these entities to come here and facilitate their coming here is most appreciated. Most appreciated. Really, no, we did get the quality of the teachers. We know what she is here. Colleagues, thank you very much. Can we now request the CEO, Sandy, to then... It's Mangaliso, sorry. It's Mangaliso to take us through the presentation. Unless there's someone, unless minister or anybody from the department wants to make an introduction of the report. But if there's no body, we expect the CEO or anybody in Mangaliso to then take us through. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Ministers, Committee members, colleagues, good morning. I'd like to start maybe first by mentioning to the committee that our CEO was awarded or given the WWF Living Planet Award for the work of Isi Mangaliso this year. I'm going to apologies for our chairman who had a competing commitment today and was unable to attend. Starting with our first program, which is conservation and park operations, the strategic objective is to ensure that the World Heritage values are conserved. If we look at all the objectives, detection of illegal development, they were detected within 48 hours. Six of these were unauthorized and in a zone of influence. Typically what we do with these, because we don't have a mandate necessarily in the zone of influence, we hand these over to the departments that have the relevant jurisdiction. In one of these incidents, however, or instances, because the impact was so serious of the particular development, we entered into joint civil action with the department, the catering department of environmental affairs, economic development and tourism, I think it's called. That matter has been handed or will be heard in court on the 3rd of December, but we have an interim order against those developers stopping any continued development. In terms of detection of poaching, we had a 2-week time period within which to detect cases. We've opened 25 cases. Our big challenge with a lot of our poaching cases is that they don't make it to the court roll. So we have begun a process, and it is on our list of deliverables, with the judiciary, with the police, with staff, around capacity building to improve our conviction rate and to make sure that environmental crimes are taken seriously. We can roll over. I spoke to this a little bit earlier because it overlapped with the zone of influence, which was the detection of developments in the zone of influence, and also improving the conviction rate, which the program was designed and tendered last year, but it is actually rolling out at the moment, and we see lots of success and goodwill from the participants. Moving on to implementation of programs supporting sustainable environmental management. Part of our program is to roll out environmental audits every year. Our target was 5. We achieved 5. Of course, this does is over and above the follow-ups that we do on audits from the previous years, where we make sure that the compliance notices that we have issued have been adhered to. The next deliverable is rehabilitation of degraded habitats. Our target is 15,000 hectares. We exceeded that target. We cleared 17,260 hectares. Each year we have a game management program. I've written there that a baseline is not applicable because it's really dependent on what's going on in the year in terms of available habitat, climatic conditions, existing numbers of animals, all sorts of things like that, but the program was achieved. Often the thing that will mitigate here and whether we achieve the program or not is the ability to capture the species, whether we are able to source the correct gene pool, and so on. And of course, one of the challenges that we face continuously in terms of game management is pouch and water provision for animals. But we have established a program where our boreholes can feed troughs so that we're managing the impact on our game. Looking at the implementation of programs supporting sustainable environmental management, big program for us is the feasibility study in asbestos use and hydrology. We got as far as completing all the studies, which is what our target was in April, and I'm running over looking to the media. We tendered work for removal of part of the bridge spoil there. The big challenge here, of course, is existing uses in the catchment, and a little bit of resistance to that, although our participation process around this has been very, very extensive and very inclusive. Community-based natural resource harvesting. Our program is really rolled out each year consistently. There's a policy that comes with, which sets use limits and so on. Again, the baseline is difficult to apply here, because if you've got grass, you'll have fewer reeds growing in a particular year and so on. So each year, we look at what's happening in terms of the availability of the resource and the use of limits. What we are finding is that the number of harvesters are increasing dramatically, and this year in particular, or last season in particular, limits were a big issue that we had to approach. We are due to revise our IMP and our local area plans, and the draft was completed, and this will be tabled with the Minister in the current year for approval. Our infrastructure development program, the targets that we had set during the course of last year were achieved. Our big challenges there are securing quality workmanship, and we have had to suspend one contract for poor quality work, and we are now having to get contractors to come and fix everything that they didn't do correctly. Program two is transformation. To optimize the empowerment in all activities of the park in a way that will improve the livelihoods of previously disadvantaged individuals. Creation of temporary jobs, line fellow. The target is based on the available funding, because a lot of our work around temporary job creation comes from our projects. So based on the available funding in the previous year, we set a target of 1,550 jobs, and we achieved 2,049 temporary jobs. We set a target of 10 permanent jobs, and we achieved 19. Again, the reason this the baseline does not appear for those three targets. Those targets is because it is funding driven, and it depends on what budgets are for that year. Our SMME support targets were 50, and we're in fact supporting 178 SMEs. This program is particularly important for us because it is a source of indirect job creation around the country. Small and medium businesses, in fact, a significant creator of jobs. We have now started funding this program for the community conservation levy because we are so that we can make it sustainable. In terms of our training programs, our target was to train 400 people. We trained 1,184. Our target was to issue or to support 25 students on the bursary program. We supported 47. And we didn't have a target per se for interns, but brought 14 interns in through the Khosebenza program. Again, not so much for training, but for bursaries, the big challenge is making the program sustainable, and we are using now the community conservation levy to sustain and support those jobs. In terms of environmental education, our school awards program, it's a program every year that we roll out to schools, and it has an environmental theme, and the competition takes the form either of art or a quiz or a singing competition or a writing competition. This year it was a quiz. Our target was 40 schools, 46 schools participated. We also have an environmental awareness program where we bring children to the park. Our target based on the anticipated funding was 2,700. We in fact achieved 5,390. Our big challenge there has really been around our funding source. We sourced funding through the lotter, and the payment of that funding has been incredibly erratic, and it's been difficult to sustain the program, to keep it going, flowing evenly, I should say. Program three is tourism commercial. It's to optimize the park's revenue generation in a commercially and environmentally sustainable manner that fosters job creation and empowerment opportunities for historically disadvantaged communities. If we roll over, thank you. One of our indicators is increased revenue and visitor numbers to the park. The increased visitor numbers are baseline based on 2012-13 with 541,000. We in fact revised our target to 503,451 and achieved 506,860. The trend, the apparent decreasing trend, was a real concern, especially because we're not seeing the decrease in our consumables that service those areas or in our cleaning staff and so on. So the effort we're putting in is in fact growing, not decreasing. So we did a bit of an assessment and analysis of this, and what we're finding is that there is a shift from vehicular access, because those are the numbers that we record through our gauge, to free pedestrian access, which is an unrecorded step. So the actual numbers haven't changed, but what we're recording through the gate has changed because we only record head transactions. So we are looking at system issues to try to capture the pedestrian pedestrian numbers. If we look at our revenue, our baseline was 11, our target was 12.4, and we achieved 15.9. Part of that was a restructuring of our commercial fees, and we are, it's a big focus of our strategy for the new year, is looking at our revenue generation plans and programs. We can roll over, please. Marketing activity, again, a very much a budget-driven activity. Our target for news flash was 24, we achieved 23. We had budgeted 3 events, we achieved 3. We were looking at 5 editorials, not 9. 2 editorials was the target, we achieved 2. Our consumer shows, we had budgeted for 2. We went to 1. And really the decision around that was that the 2 that we had targeted were the Johannesburg Getaway and the Cape Town Getaway Show. And we just found that the Cape Town Getaway Show wasn't giving us a return on our money. So what we're now looking at is for this year is a different consumer show to the Cape Town Getaway Show, but we just felt that spending the money there would have been imprudent. We hosted 1 international delegation that hadn't been on the cards at all, and we had planned for 4 media jumpers, and we achieved 6. We also run a quality control program, which we call a mystery guest program, and what we do there is we have a database of people who we send on all our activities and all our accommodation facilities, and they feedback and they tell us what service our third party provider is offering, and then we give that information to our third party provider so we can monitor the standards in the park. Our target was 20, we achieved 24. Licenses for tourism activities, really the figure is derived from the numbers that are coming up for renewal and what the market and supply conditions are at the time in the market. We had set our target at 2, we achieved 3. If we can roll over. And our final program is corporate governance. The strategic objective there is to ensure that this Indonesia's operations are properly funded and cost-effectively managed while maintaining an appropriate system of internal control and reporting of accounting management and statutory information. Can we roll over, please? Where we are there, our target was really to make sure that all of our reports were tabled on time, which is a research is a big component of this. What we're trying to do with research is make sure that there's an element of it that contributes obviously to the global body of knowledge, but that it's made relevant to the park. The big challenge around research is that we don't hold research budgets, so it's very difficult often to drive a research agenda. We have a research committee that approves all of the research applications that come to the park. We are able to influence the research in that way. We've raised some money and we've launched 2 of our own research programs. The other challenge, of course, is that social research is often not as well conceptualized as natural science research, and there are big gaps in the area that we're working to try to resolve. We received 68 applications in the last year, and we approved 51 because given events simply do not meet the requirements or were not necessarily park dependent. Skills retention, our target is set at 80%. It's a target we achieved. We very sadly lost 2 of our staff members in a car accident last year, and I must say this set us back a little bit because they occupied very significant positions in the company. And we are a very small class of 30, so the impact is felt quite wide or quite mighty. The posts have now been filled. What was really heartening in the last round of interviews is that Isi Mandalisa is starting to be seen as an employer of choice by people who want to work in the conservation sector. We do still have a limitation insofar as commercial and financial skills are concerned, because it's difficult to attract people to the location. I know it's not wonderful, but it's not quite like the city. And then the last of our charges is an unqualified audit, and we are pleased to be able to say that the 14th unqualified audit is in the bag this year. Just an overall picture of where we are, and I have used the word partially met, because it just, you know, it hasn't been met. So I'm not going to romanticize it. If we look at park operations, we had a total of 28 indicators. We met 26, we exceeded 2. Transformation, 5 indicators. We met 4, exceeded 1. Commercialization, we had 8 indicators. 2 were not met. It was the visitor numbers and the new flashes. 4 were met, 2 were exceeded. Corporate governance, we had 4 targets, we met 4. Overall, of our 45 targets, we didn't meet 2, we met 58, and we exceeded 5. If we can roll over. I've done a bit of a snapshot of our financial information quarterly, and the information that I've already given you is available on a quarterly basis as well, if you should like to support a copy of that, if that's of interest. Just looking at where we're at, and the total income won't match what's in the financial statements because of the line item called project net profit or loss. The project net profit or loss is our project income less our project expenses, so it's a bit of a net, a mix figure, and that won't flex. So in the final quarter, we're showing a total income of 67. It will reflect in our financials of 105. And looking at our expenditure, we're showing a total expenditure of 52, which will reflect in our financials as 11. Oh, I've got a bit of a typo there, sorry. Because we do have a surplus this year of 10 million. So I've got a typo in my hand, isn't there? And the total expenditure of 62 without the, having netted off the project information. If we can flip over to the key. Oh, that's me done. Okay, I don't see any questions.
So thank you very much again. Thanks for telling us your story. Yeah, Minister of Justice, you know, there are so many other responsibilities that you create. But thanks for having come and listening to your entities as well. thank you very much, Minister. Colleagues, we will now take any other members from the back. Honourable Member Stammer, any other colleagues?
Thank you very much. I've just got 2 queries. In your program 1, the second page, in terms of game management introductions, you've got 2 white rhino and 45 blue wildebeest for quarter 1. But in your financial statements, you don't have any expenditure for quarter 1. You've only got from quarter 2. So I just wanted to know whether that was perhaps falling under the previous year and you paid it in advance or after. And then my second question is that you mentioned the difficulty with contractors that are not fulfilling or providing the right policy or standard. What measures are you implementing to correct that? Thank you.
I remember, Mabel.
No, sir. The first one will be only a net loss. Can you just explain to us the contributory factor, the big or the CFO or the share? Then the second one is that I'm comfortable that there's going to be an interface between yourself and the judicial. But the concern is that why the role of wildlife crime is not, there's no urgency from the judiciary to have the cases on the road. When we say wildlife is at the receiving end, especially our rivals, why is the judiciary not having the appetite for this type of crime? Thanks.
That's where you, I understand where you come from. I think it's difficult to have a baseline when something is dependent on the budget, but the previous average could then inform your baseline. So I think it can't be an idea that you have no baseline. So that's a comment. It's something that we can look at. because when we are not baseline, we have no way of judging whether we are making progress or not. Or even with the stress we are rising. Honorable.
There's a slide where you interacting with the department.
That presentation is standard for what it is. Okay, no, it's fine. But again, let's just make the point. The issues that you are raising is okay, fine. You got what you were doing.
Yeah, it's on page 2, the slide is not 1, 2, 3, 4, it's supposed to be slide 4. Where you are interacting with the KZN Department of, I think, Economic Development, or, yeah, on the instances where, for incidences, which you can't handle because they are not necessarily your jurisdiction. But just to understand whether there's any progress, whether you're getting any satisfaction, what is the situation now, because these things, I think they happen over the year, so there must be that there have been a way in which some of them has been concluded, or something like that. In as much as it may not be, you may not be in control of how the processes go to conclude that, but the feedback that comes back to you and for you to be able to proceed and do your work, how is it like that? So say I got what I wanted.
Okay. So colleagues, before you answer, by the way, when you come to us, you come to us because, first of all, we want to satisfy yourself that indeed you know yourself, because you are practitioners on the ground. But not only practitioners, our practitioners. We are practitioners of South Africa. And we represent those people, the people of South Africa in this committee on matters of environment. So any question that we ask it in good faith. We ask all those questions in good faith, but again, let's also say what we have said to Sandy. You seem to be knowing yourself. You know what you are about, and you are confident of what you are doing, and again, keep up a good job, but ask the question. And give us baseline.
Okay.
Point taken about the baseline, and we will reflect either a prior year showing you the sense of the trend and where we're going, because we do try to increase our numbers off the previous year so that we are making a bigger and bigger contribution each time. To speak to the first question around program one, the targets were achieved in the current year, often it's a mix of donations, which is why an expense may not necessarily be reflected in that particular quarter. And also, we subsequently rendered the subsidy financial assistance to our partner agency who did a lot of this work for us, which is Zimbello. In terms of the contract, I'll speak to the specifics about this because it may be of interest. But what happened with this contractor is, in our tender document, we specified a particular quality. We inspected the factory subsequently, and halfway through the contract, they did a substitution on the material. And then subsequently did testing and we determined this. Having said that, in the next round of tender documents, we changed our criteria and our conditions so that we can do a more robust due diligence and so that we can do more testing, and it will include, for example, things like them setting up a testing lab so that we have immediate results rather than results after the fact. On the net loss, it's a non-cash loss, and it's depreciation, so it's not a financial, doesn't have a financial impact. In terms of the judiciary coming to the party on wildlife crime cases, there's been some confusion around the use of the cases in ordnance versus the National Environmental Management Act, the Protected Area Act. And some of our own, our conservation provider was putting through some cases under ordnance instead of under the proper act. So that was causing a little bit of a problem. And so working with people to get that kind of level of attention is now, not attention but capacity, is now yielding results. We've also found that the police in the area are quite stretched in terms of their resources. So what we're doing is training our own staff to preserve crime scenes, and we're doing our own forensics, and we set up our own forensic lab to support the police because they are so, so stretched. So we're trying to plug the gaps where we can. And the comment on the baseline is taken on board. Progress in instances, and how are we looking at instances where we don't have jurisdiction? On the five matters of the five of the six are still pending, and we do follow them up consistently to find out what the status is. And we unfortunately can't dictate the pace at which other departments work, but that's precisely why on the sixth matter we went in with a civil action, because that way we could become a driver of the process with the department and make sure we get a more speedy and considered action. And just to put it into context, that particular case is in respect of a developer who is selling rights and trying to build 521 holiday houses on the banks of the Ngobasele Lake, outside Shidwana Bay, without EIAs, without waste authority, without planning, without water licenses, without in fact even land rights, because it's state land, and he's relying on a so-called Ngonyama lease. But that impact would have been so huge had we not become more directly involved and started driving it, that we couldn't not enter into that kind of action. I don't know if that answers the question satisfactorily. So we try to manage our risk by taking the lead where it's to be found needed.
Thanks, Chair, for the responses. Just a way of recommending that in the event you face the same eventuality, let it be not confined to this mechanism. Let it be publicized, at least at the level of the portfolio committee, let us be exposed, because we are custodians of the environment, like I said, as to quote Section 24B of the Constitution, to ensure we've got a sustainable environment. So now, if it is just left to yourself, you fight it on your own, you are unable to monitor and make the necessary impact, because it's very crucial that you safeguard our assets, natural resources. Yes, that was just a comment.
Also, that if some of the issues take unnecessarily long, you've got a right, I think, to go beyond the department, because it can't just be that you rely solely on that department alone. You can either elevate that even to the level of either the premier or other authorities that could help fast track or facilitate quick resolution of such matters, so that you are not stuck and say until they come back to us and so on and so on. Yes, I just wanted to pass that to say, I'm not sure what will be reasonable time, but upon realizing that reasonable time has passed, you can then elevate the matters. Yes.
So,
through
the Chief
Mayor,
the significance of the civil case for not Chikwesi Mangalisha but for all our protected areas is that if it is, the finding is in our favour, it establishes jurisdiction of protected area managers in the buffer zone, which will then enable us to take action directly and not have to rely on other government departments.
Again, like we have said to Sandy, thank you very much. You are doing wonderful work, and You know, it's just, this is somewhat correct, but as you are saying, that is not done in big cities where there are wonderful lights and everybody can see what you're doing. But we understand that you are is it taking care of this world having its son or not there. But you are also using it in a sustainable way. So that those who are living near the area and communities near the area are able to benefit from this entity that belongs to them. So we really appreciate that. Also your core governance model. I think it's of course you have also said that you are different from other entities in the department, but the thinking is something that we can look at in other areas of our endeavors, in other some parts. Just the thinking, it might not necessarily be structured in the same way as the structure, but it is something that we can look at so that, you know, when people have a sense that they are core government, they also take responsibility to safeguard their entity. It is something that we will have to look at moving forward. But again, to the CEO, congratulations. Right to us to say exactly what this award means, so that we're able to say something in Parliament.
Honourable Chair, unfortunately, in comes funding. But I am interesting that I offered it to me, I said there must be a project for the CEO of WWF will meet with me on the 30th of 31st to look at if they can come in and fund hopefully one of the community projects in the park. Hopefully our internship program, because that higher education program for me is one of our most important programs. Tomorrow's CEOs already graduated in this park. We have a 96-97% pass rate with students coming from that area to university, and if you take UNISA, your average pass rate is 30-34%. So this group is exceptional.
Thank you, and again to all of you colleagues, keep up on doing the good job. You see, other people have this notion that we don't want to appear before Parliament, we don't know what's going to happen. They're appearing before your own party right here. It's your own party right here. It's people that you send to that Parliament. To ensure that these things that you are supposed to do are done. They have that responsibility. So, that's all. Again, if you come here and you know your story, rest assured you won't ask him anything. But if you don't know your story, we'll send you begging. Ask us. If you don't know your story, we'll say, please, because you know what you're doing these things on a day-to-day basis, just go and write them down. So that you educate us on what your objectives are, your baseline are, your targets for the year are, did you achieve them or not. And again, we will be meeting with you in due course, where we'll be looking at the current year. Of course, we have some discussions there, because that's very current. What are these things that you want to achieve? Research work that you want to achieve, and how will it assist us as a country to move forward, as a people to move forward, particularly this man, this and the Department of Environmental Affairs. From our side, again, colleagues, you all and everybody, thank you, and thank you very much. Continue to do a good job. And again, when you get to the Isimangaliso, tell everybody that we said so, that you are doing a good job. We are proud that you are doing that job on our behalf. The same we will say to a department. Pumzawi, we are quite thankful that you have entities that know what they are doing. We can't say the same if some entities in government. You know, we can't say the same. But the entity that reported today clearly illustrates that there is value in having state-owned entities. There is value. Because they add to the well-being of our people. So from ourselves, again, thank you very much. Department, thank you very much. I don't know when we're going to see. We might not, we will keep you updated. You know, even this program of Parliament is almost everything. When we have a clear thrust as a committee, then come next week, you find that something else has now been put by authorities that are above us. But if there are any changes, particularly next week, and there are likely to be changes,
we will keep you updated. But this, that's what, by the way, kept us away this morning, because these are some of the things that we're fighting. Because that you can't just chop and change within it. Because we have got plans, we have got portfolio committees, and again, we have got people out there who expect to come to us. And all of a sudden, we must now come up with an excuse and tell them not to come. We are not, you know, giving any confidence to the Parliament if we do so. But to the Department, again, thank you very much. We have already said so to the Minister. But you see, the good thing with this committee is that the CEO and the acting DGC, when we don't agree with you, we tell you upfront. You see, we don't beat all the bush. We tell you that, hey, we don't know what you have here. Explain it. And when you fail to explain, you say, okay, go and craft it. When you understand it, bring it back. With you, we accept what you have given to us, and also the other things that you said you will do in the future, Atlantic baseline, which is basically the main thing. We don't think that there can be anything without the favor, unless if you are just starting. If you are starting that program, of course, then there is no prior learning or prior history. But if you are not starting that program, there is so much that you can learn from past experience in that program or in that objective. From ourselves and from the committee, again, thank you, and thank you very much. You are allowed to go. Okay, colleagues, we also have some portfolio committee business to present. Maybe the minister, why don't you just take a 2 minute walk?
Thank you. Yeah.
Come back to it. Why is it not this far? We are too far. Get out. Too far. Displaced. By whom? Today. Today. This is what I'm telling. Terrible. Terrible to tell. Welcome, Honorable Member Shalem. You are most welcome. Sorry that we started before you came. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, colleagues, we on our program, we have two sets of reports that we need to look at. We will start with the easiest one, the Kirstenbosch visit. We will take the reports as read, because we did send them to yourselves, but we also interacted with them as a committee, and we just hope that all the things that you said we must include are included. But we'll start with the report on Stellenbosch. Can you lead us the way on that situation? I think in the main, just the recommendations that were put in there. Because the other things are just before.
Chairman, just to say that it's a two-page report indicating those who were present and those who were not there, and the kind of interaction with that institution. On the second page, item 4, that's where we've got the recommendations. There are just three bullets on the recommendations. The first being that the portfolio committee recommended that more concerted efforts should be put to promote botanical gardens by getting communities involved and instilling the sense of ownership in them in the process. Second, having a sense of state would help in securing critical support for national botanical gardens to ensure their sustainability in cases. That's the thing I feel must be reworked or removed, in case of adverse political decisions. Because I don't know or understand what those would mean. That may threaten their existence in perpetuity. But we may see how we reward that. The third, the portfolio committee has recommended the continuation of the good work that Sambi is doing via the Home Servenza program, especially in providing graduates with critical skills that they need to secure sustainable employment with potential employers. Then there's a guided tour there. But in the conclusion part, I can see, I would say, just from my take, so that you lead this after this, I would prefer that it reads, the chairperson of the portfolio committee expressed appreciation for the way on how the Kirstenbosch National Botanical Garden has been managed and encouraged Sambi to continue taking good care of our national botanical gardens. It ends there. The last sentence, and that which comes to lunch, I think can be delivered. Thanks.
No, Shireka and Dr. Scott like lunches. They really like lunches. Do you have any
On the second point, having a center stake will help in securing critical support for national product values to ensure their sustainability. Case closed. It was started. It was under recommendations. Question was. Their sustainability. We are making a case that seems to indicate that there might be political decisions that might threaten. Botanical gardens, by the way, are there by law. So there can't be any threats by political decisions because they are there by law. You don't have it, man?
No.
Oh. Because we hate you, that's why we don't have it. Now or not? So the only changes under recommendations will go up to ensure their sustainability, full stop. Then the other change, thereafter the committee that under conclusion, thereafter the committee affirmed that they would, it's not necessary. All that was saying, we thanked the Christian Bosch and also encouraged the Sandy to continue supporting our botanical gardens.
Namukeka. Question. Before you go further, Chair, I just see the name of Comrade Nandi, and she was there in the Bosch. That's
Honorable Member Nyami.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. That's another detail which I have not seen there. In the presentations, isn't it a matter of historical importance that this park of botanical garden was donated by Cecil John Rhodes? Is that a matter of historical importance? Whether we want to be there, but in the presentation, that's one of the things that is transdonated. I'm not one of those people who are history revisionists. I'm a history student myself. So I think that factual narration at least should be there because it's also educated. I didn't know, by the way, myself too. I didn't know that it was donated by Cecil John Rhodes. Now, unless if we say that, some other people will say this botanical garden must fall too. So, but that is the risk inherent. That is the risk. Colleagues, can we have your take, probably on what was going on? That is that we went there, we commend the work that is being done there, that is. They must do more work in ensuring that communities come to this. And of course, we know that Sandy, through their other programs, doing so, bringing schools, bringing the elderly even there. In the past, there are days when they bring the elderly to the park. Maybe in the body of the text, we should make that indication. But they can do more. So that recommendation is still there. So we can do more to promote our parks. Particularly, and of course, Any takers? Babu Mavir?
No, thank you. With the corrections effected in position, I moved it to accept the recommendation. A true reflection of what transpired. Thank you.
Good. Any second? But, done. We will just effect any grammar issues that we need to, but broadly, we accept the principles that are embodied in the report. Thank you very much. That being done, We'll also add the Umanyandi in the report. You see, Chileva and Dr. Scott decided to delete you.
Yeah.
Deliberate this one. Colleagues, we will then request that the whip take us through the report on a quality visit of the visit, of a chef visit to the Bumalana provinces and Hawking. With
thanks. If we are to take the report as read, and also that in the previous week we did interact with the initial draft, just to want to bring everybody on board, and at that point it was actually reading it, going through. So members might not have seen it in this current form, but we take it that almost all the discussions we had in the previous week or week before have been incorporated. I have gone through it. I was going, if members would permit, I was going to focus on the recommendations right at the end and not the brief of the document. Are we in agreement?
Yes.
Okay. And then on page 11, the pages are on top there as opposed to the normal paging at the bottom of the document, just for you not to be lost. And item 8 talks to those recommendations. I was going to talk to them, but realizing sometimes it could just be an issue of just read them, but I'm not sure. It will be useful that I read them. The first bullet under the Department of Environmental Affairs is that we're saying that DEA, which currently leads the VTAPA source apportionment study, should consider replicating the study in all the other remaining air quality priority areas to get a better understanding of what is happening in those hotspots. The second bullet says DEA should integrate air quality management issues into its impending provincial climate change summit that brings together key stakeholders and industry to share perspectives and experiences, as well as to develop a common and shared understanding of the way forward. There is need to have mobile handheld air quality sensors to monitor the real-time emission profile of facilities at any given time for compliance enforcement and accountability purposes, so as to come closer to source apportionment. DEA should craft a standardized organogram and skills for air quality management in all categories of municipalities. Similarly, the time frame for developing and reviewing of air quality management plans should be enforced, as information from these processes contributes to the formulation of municipal bylaws pertaining to air quality management. Fourth, commissions or lead and or undertake with industry regular studies to determine the impact of pollution on human health, economic systems, and the natural environment in pollution hotspots across the country. Probably we can do with the other ones, just the detail as well. The second one refers to national treasures. There's a need for dedicated funding for air quality management at the district municipality level for these to have a fully functional and resourced air quality management unit capable of monitoring and enforcing atmospheric emission license conditions to hold pollutants accountable. Over to the next page, that budget allocation and transfers for air quality management functions at the local government level must be conditional or ring-fenced to prevent transfer of funds from air quality management to other functions that local authorities must consider a priority in service delivery, considering the competing demands for financial resources at this level. metros and municipalities. Municipalities should seriously start considering environmental management, including air quality matters, taking into account that this function is a constitutional mandate. All municipalities that have air quality management
air quality monitoring stations,
should have adequate maintenance plans, including financial resources to prevent equipment from falling into disrepair. This one is another document to check. Remember, we raised it on the department that they should develop standard human resources and organogram in air quality positions. I think the department will have done this, and it will assist us. We can as well delete it from here. The other is that budget allocation for
implement.
Once developed. Budget allocation for air quality management programs, develop plans and have them reviewed regularly, unless it's every 3 years, talks to what is in the act. But otherwise, if we're not sure, rather say regularly, so that as and when time for them to be reviewed, whether it's 5 yearly in the municipalities or whatever, they'll be able to do that. Industry should outline the envisaged challenges in the decommissioning of aging power plants, chemicals and manufacturing and processing plants, and steel manufacturing plants. Comply with the Air Quality Act and required emission standards as air quality standards for 2015. Companies that have been granted postponement should comply by 2020. Commission lead or undertake with government regular studies to determine the impact of pollution on human health, economic systems, and the natural environment in pollution at transport across the country. Parliament should call relevant provincial legislative committees and mayor to share with them the observations made by this committee with the aim of finding meaningful and sustainable solutions to existing challenges that bedevil local authorities in discharging their responsibilities in respect to air quality management. Should consider interacting with the organized labor in a particular industry before engaging with the management of that industry to get a better understanding of the operations of the industry and likely impacts on labor and surrounding communities in terms of pollution and or any other industrial discharges. There is a need for the community to undertake a study visit to a country that has one of the best air quality management practices in the world to see what they have done over the years to arrive at where they are, as this would enhance the community's oversight function over their entities. Oversight their provinces and municipalities on their responsibilities to monitor and enforce compliance by industry to the Act and Air Quality Standards as published in 2015. Ensure that studies to determine the impact of pollution on human health, economic systems, and the natural environment in pollution hotspots across the country are undertaken by industry and government. That's all.
As Andrew said, the report is adopted and to be debated and adopted by Parliament. Because I think that the importance, this is very important just to be adopted. So we must have, in my view, the view that I'm advancing to the committee, that we need a debate and then adoption by Parliament. It's now in your hands, colleague.
Diabulela Sishalo. On page 11 of the report, under the conclusion, second line, that the industry is responding well. I don't think that we can agree with that in general terms, because there are some instances where industry is not. So I just have challenge with the wording there. And in terms of the recommendations, bullet point 3, of Department of Environmental Affairs, as well as on page 12, under Metros and Municipalities, bullet point 3. In the first one, it said that the DEA should craft and standardize the organogram, and then I wanted to suggest for air quality management according to types or categories of municipalities. Then in the third bullet point under metros and municipalities, it should say implement the standard human resource air quality organogram as suggested by the DEA. You can't have the DEA suggesting one and metro, so the mini metros must implement, not. Then in terms of bullet points, the same bullet point 3 on page 11 under Department of Environmental Affairs, I just want added to that report on the progress of municipalities and provinces to implement air quality management plans. The DEA must provide us with a report. I don't know if you want it to be quarterly or biannually, sir, but they must come and tell us, you know, these are the ones that need to implement and these are the ones that have done so, so that we can follow up on that. In terms of the polluter pay principle, it is a globally accepted standard that is adopted, and I think that should be an additional bullet point. The Department of Environmental Affairs must investigate how the polluter pay principle can be implemented, because under Treasury, I see that there is talking about ring fencing. Now, Treasury has refused to ring fence. I mean, even with the plastic bags, they refused to ring fence, and also with the environmental levies and things like that. So I just think that there might be a challenge, and that the fund set up should be funded by industry, not by government. That's to implement the polluter pay principle. I think that there should also be a report on the monitoring station functionality. Remember, we found that some of the monitoring stations in the hotspot areas were not functional. The Department of Environmental Affairs, when they inform us about the implementation of air quality management plans, at the same time, they should also come back to us and say, monitoring station, functional, not functional, or whatever, so that we can ensure that that the right things are being monitored. On page 12, the first bullet point under metros and municipalities, it says that municipalities should seriously start considering, municipalities should start implementing environmental management, not consider, implement. Otherwise, they can think about it until Jesus comes in jail. Then industry, I think that there should be, in addition to the fourth bullet point, or you can decide, Chair, but externality cost assessments should be for the account of industry. This ties in with the polluter pay principle. And if they are providing and paying for the externality cost assessment, then the Department of Environmental Affairs just needs to oversight that and ensure that the externality cost assessments haven't been deferred or incorrect or favorable information is manipulated into the assessment. And perhaps the DEA could suggest that it is done by an independent body or something like that. So those are just the suggestions and additions for you to chair.
I think that they are quite helpful. Very, very helpful. They take us forward. And I think you are also right where on industry, that the industry is responding well. And let's find another way of we expect industry to implement our air quality laws and legislation. Okay.
I don't have a problem with the general terms of the recommendations.
But I don't think we must be self-defeated by saying we must not pursue the question of reconciliation. I think we must leave it. If people reject it, then it's fine. But we must not censor ourselves, because the intention is to ensure it's a dedicated fund for what we want to do. But overall, I'm in agreement, but let's not expand reconciliation. The treasury reject us, then we know. Thank you.
Doctor, you will wait until we are done with everything. We'll come to you.
All right.
We'll get your expert advice. Thank you.
Chair, I take it when reference is made to industry in this case, and I'm not saying it's okay. It's industry that presented to us as well. But generally, they might have seemed to be responding well in terms of compliance, whatever. The point I want to really make is that in as much as we want to indicate that there are those who are not responding well, we must not lose the fact that others go, so that we encourage them. We mustn't, when they come across our report, think that we are just negative against them. We must be seen encouraging them to do what they are doing, but we may want them to move at a particular pace and so on. So I'm just saying, let's write that balance. When we rework this kind of work, it's very important. They will want to see what we're seeing with them, about them in this particular report. And when they come across this, they must see that either we are reasonable, but where we think they must do more, we are able to do so. Yes, we must. Yes, and I'm not saying we either say largely that responding well or some or things being something like that, but we may not want to, I'm just saying to the draft pass, I don't want to go outside of the meeting and still want to say the point. I'm trying to say the report will be talking to both parliamentarians and industry and the public. So industry will be more concerned if we see them in a red light. They may no longer, they may think we are fighting. Them are not necessarily acknowledging where they might have done well. So we need to encourage them to do so.
Babu, Helen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on page 12 under Parliament. A call is made to provincial legislators, for committees, mayors. But I'm just concerned about, say, I'm really need to have a time frame, because I'm looking that next year we are having, say, local government elections, and so the mayor has got a very short period now from now to proceed. So we may have, say, if we don't learn, don't have the time frame to ensure that we meet them on time. So we may have a problem on meeting them towards the local government elections, where they will be busy, don't get them, some have lost their confidence that they may not be redeployed to those positions. Just checking on that, the time frame. And the second one, I don't know whether I'm not not right, why we do not, involve the Chamber of Businesses, if we invite mayors and from all, and the committees, because if you look at the report, those who are producing or affecting the operation are, the businesses where there are Chamber of Businesses in the country, where you can get maybe the leader of the Chamber of Business to come in that meeting so they know what is happening and they can be able to do that. And report their chambers of what we have seen. Now the issue of say district and metros. Now looking to the mayors of district and metros. For example, if you go to a KZN, Utumulu is the district. Richards Bay that we are closing is a local municipality, is not a district. But you see, pollution is coming from Richards Bay as Mr. Cousin Municipality. So now I think, I don't know how can we engage, those municipalities if we are saying district and metros, but Mr. Cousin is not a metro, is not a district. And then same thing if you go to Lakeshore, you go to Newcastle. So I'm just looking whether we can, I don't know how can we, when you call. And I'm referring to the call by Parliament. The call by Parliament that if you look at that, should call relevant provincial legislature committees and mayors of districts and metros. So it does not include the local municipalities are producing the evidence. Thank you.
Because our understanding was that you may not want to bring everybody here. Any local municipality that may be facing a lot of this is under a particular script. And often what happens, even in terms of the presentations, if it's a particular local municipality that is supposed to be working on air pollution management areas, the management plans happen to be adopted by the district, and the district oversees what happens in the entire district, but in the main, on the basis of that local so even in this public case, we may not, unless if we were to stay on those hotspots, we even go to the local ones, but the implication, even in terms of cost and everything, will be higher. But our expectation is that once the districts who are supposed to even coordinate as they go to their various or respective districts, will be able to impart that knowledge and so on and discuss at the district level what should actually happen. That's why we're not going in that route of calling local municipalities at this particular level. Okay.
In terms of the template that is going to be sent, it might encompass all the constituents, local municipalities, local municipalities. Unfortunately, you are not admitting, I'm not saying you are not admitting that. We cover this very question to say no municipality, local municipality must be left out. In terms of the template, it is going to be sent.
I wanted us to be a bit cautious and even be conscious on the one of time frames. Perhaps we rather even wait it be done in the summit that we envisage.
I got the impression that he's not there.
Our plan as well is to say we may need to invite them to come to have some interaction with all of them. So as they come, we'll discuss all of these observations and our concerns and so on, so that we work out a particular plan in terms of how we want to address these issues. So I'm saying we rather allow that summit to take place. Emerging from that summit, there could be issues on the basis of which or upon which they will commit themselves. I'm raising that primarily because we don't oversight municipalities. We must be careful about to what extent we can move. Because if we go to the extent of thinking that we've got all the powers, we'll be surprised. Some can stand up and say, we won't do that. And what do we do when your deadlines are not met? It's rather if it is a resolution in which they are present and say we think we are able to do this by then or whatever, what was that, it's okay. But if it's us as if we are debating, it will be a bit problematic already. We'll start a tension which we don't need to change. So I'm saying let's we can persuade them in a plan in that time. We can, if we have a particular view, we can persuade them to adopt a particular understanding. But we can't say in our report because it has got implications if it can't even be done. So I'm raising that. Let's be cautious. Let's not press hard at this point, you know, because we don't just oversight them. They've got their own concerns there and so on and so on. I think I may not want to talk to that issue. I'm just raising also the constitutional impact. Okay.
Chair, no municipal legislation may be in contradiction to the National Air Quality Management Act, and therefore it is our role and the DEA role to ensure that that is implemented. So they must just do if we tell them to do, because it's in terms of the national legislation. If it's something separate or something extra, then yes, I agree, you must consult. Otherwise, you must just ensure implementation.
Maybe what has not been explained properly is the notion of a summit. A summit is the time frame that it must be now in September. Long before people... So it's now in September, but again, we don't have the... We would like to get some buy-in in terms of implementation of the legislation by districts supporting local, because they have the plans already. In fact, in our presentation, I don't know whether you have the option, it's the districts that we're presenting on behalf. They have that duty through NEMA, Air Quality Act. In fact, when they are, it's districts that are given the responsibility to even coordinate air quality plans in that district with all the municipalities that is, that are constituent in the area. But of course, ideally, we would have loved to have everybody, but the reality is that we do have the capacity now, or should you work with what you can, the district, and as they come, is right, but my view is right. As they come, they must say who has got plans in their jurisdiction. So that's what our lettering says. What are those plans? Human resource capacity, budgetary issues. So all that in the letter that's going to them is well articulated. That they must not only speak about the district. Yes, they must think how the district coordinates, but we also want to know each individual municipality in the district. So they must send us that information well in advance. We've got over 200 municipalities. Now, for you to have all of them in one city, unless you set yourself to fail. But when we at this, we have got 53 districts. That is manageable. Those we can get. And also the metro, we can get all these 9 or 6 metro, we can get all of them in one city. So that we then, all of us agree. How do we take forward human resource, issues of project, timelines for management, air quality plans, all those, and even the review and all the things that we are raising here. But we will, obviously, we have also discussed with the department on the organogram and the skills that are needed. So that we load those things in that meeting. This is what needs to happen in all municipalities, not only in the districts, in all municipalities by what timeline. So that's what we will agree on there. By the way, immediately thereafter, one thing that we have not said, the department, they normally have this annual meeting with all municipalities on this issue. A week in September after our meeting, that meeting of the department will sit, the MPD or somewhere. But it would be good if we are able to hold this, because then we can make an input even then in that meeting. I think that meeting calls everybody, the meeting of the department. Yes, Donna?
Jay, what do you think about the feasibility of addressing or presenting at the MuniMed? Is that a possibility?
It's something that we can look at, but let's first have them. Let's first have them. As to how we move forward from there, then it's something, but indeed there is a possibility, and the feasibility of us addressing in any other forum that they can even raise themselves in this meeting. But this one is our own initiative for good reason. Why, from where I'm seated, why you not want to have industry? Because we want to be open. We want to be open. Because they are expected to monitor and enforce as municipalities this air quality standard as published by the minister in 2015. Many of them are unable to. That's what you need to check. It's not in the industry, yes, we'll pollute, but they have a duty to ensure that they monitor the pollution levels and the effect of those pollution levels to our people. But now, when they can't even monitor, how on earth are they going to enforce?
So they have. They can do both. That's why we want them, Makerende, so that we agree with them by when do they have all the capabilities to enforce and some monitoring.
Chair, just so that we have the time we deal with, I just realized we have got some time that we can't keep shifting this thing. In South Africa, we have got what we call three spheres of government, not three tiers of government. So they are not in terms of rank. You don't start with national and say probing in between and say local down there. There are three spheres. There are governments on their own, but they coordinate. I needed to raise this point so that we understand why certain things national can just dictate to province and why province can't just dictate to locals unless there are certain things. There are conditions put to that. Even if you want to put a province under administration or a local municipality under administration. And also we've got the three branches of the state and separation of powers. Whatever we can be able to do as parliament is what is contained within our powers as parliament chair. We may not dictate certain things to the executive, but we hold them accountable. We hold the executive accountable. But don't go there and dictate, because they come to us to even request the funding to say this is our program. We are going to do the following. We have got the responsibility to make sure they do what they are supposed to do. And they tell us what they can be able to do. But if we want to work as if we are higher than the executive may say some parliament ends here. And I'm saying we must allow them to even be able to implement certain things, causing them to implement that which we have seen and we know that they must be able to do. I'm just raising that chance that when we suggest yes, it shouldn't be that we are competing with the executive, but causing them to account on the program that we know and on the plans that we have given them. So that tomorrow, we are not reminded that, by the way, we don't have powers on this particular area. But I'm just saying, sir, I don't want to go to a lot of details. I'm saying, let's be a bit aware of our own powers, what we can do and what we can do. But then pressurize them to do that which they must do, you know, without crossing the line. I'm not sure if I'm explaining myself clearly. Without us crossing the line, so that we are not in some loggerheads with either the executive, the same way in which we may not be with the judicial, because we are three branches, and the executive may not as well dictate what government, what parliament should be able to do. So, yeah, I just wanted to raise those 2 points.
I think we are on the same wavelength. Yes, we agree that there are certain things that we cannot force on whatever sphere of government. But when we have made an obligation in relation to a national legislation, it's for us to make those that we have made an observation upon aware of our observation. And so that's what we'll be doing in this instance, by calling those. Of course, also Member Stanner is correct. There must be a framework of reporting by DIA, because DIA reports to us, or the implementation of this national legislation by various levels of government. So yes, that we must have a regular report on performance of municipalities and metros on enforcement and monitoring of this quality regulation as published in 2015. But also, DIA has a responsibility, apart from them monitoring in the local level of government, they must also ensure compliance by industry. It's their responsibility, because the industry that asked for postponement asked it from DIA. They now have a responsibility in ensuring that industry complies by whatever date that is. In most instances, it's 2020. So they must ensure compliance. I also agree with Honourable Member
standard on polluter pay principle. That polluter pay principle from Dr. Scottney, under GTA, the source apportionment,
mm-hmm.
it comes in fulfillment of that polluter pay principle.
Correct.
So we must work it in there. That polluter pay principle, work it in the apportionment study. Because that apportionment study is not, the intent is not understanding what is happening in those households. No. It's understanding who's polluting our people's death, but don't write it like I'm saying. So that they pay. They don't know that under the auspices of polluter pay principle. So we must even change what we have said. We don't want to know what's happening there. We want to know who are those that are responsible for the public health negative impact on the public health of our people in that airshed. And obviously, through the polluter pay principle, those that are responsible must then pay. Then we are agreed. No question about it.
Thank you, Chair. It's a good thing that the polluter pay is. But I'm just checking on the issue of the affordability that the person can afford to pay. That means it is fine as long as he pays for his hour. Now, I don't know, but I heard something about maybe one of the countries overseas, if a person has a producer, there is a fine of sort of imprisonment. Because the issue of affording will be most of the time that afford to pay. I know that question also of the Department of Water and Sanitation, they have the same about pollution, that people just pollute their water because they know that they can pay. But if they know that it's not just that you pay, but it's also something that may lead to imprisonment. I don't know how can we look at that.
But the law says that. The law says that there is 5 million or 10 million or a term of imprisonment for people that are offending all the time, repeat offenders. So that's what the legislation says. So it's in the legislation. Our bigger problem, Bamshelele, is that we are not even closer to making those people accountable for the negative public health on our people. Now, I saw something on EMCA the other day in Rivali, in Joburg, because of these polluted water streams, particularly through the water that comes from mines, acid mine drainage. I saw some old people who are now, their life has been condemned to machines. So they have got to use machines and they can't do anything, they can't close themselves, they can't go to the loo. And I think it's something that we must avoid at all costs in our area of work. So maybe it's, again, they are saying they are attributing this, but there are two studies that have been going to come up with class action. But they are saying, why if it is acid mine drainage, there's also the possibility of those dust from the mine dams also causing this difficulty that the old people are faced with there. So I only saw two of them who are now using machines to breathe. Now, this is a reality, you know, and that's why our stepping closer to making those that are responsible to pay, the class action that the relevant actors want to take is against the mines that left those drainages unattended. Because when you start mining in this country, it is said that when your mine is decommissioned, the conditions must not be adverse to a community that this mine was set in, or the community around the mine. But that's another area altogether. But I think, colleagues, we are in agreement with all the things that we have raised. Externalities, yes, the assessment by industry, of course, external cost by industry. The issue, again, my own suggestion is that if there's one country that we can learn a lot from, our legislation has mainly been taken from Norway and this country and even countries. Now, I would then propose that the country that we are talking of visiting to see how they deal with these issues in Norway or Sweden. They've done pretty well with this, if they are in agreement.
so that we don't just say we must go to a country that has got wonderful experiences, but we also mention the country, Norway or Sweden. They've done pretty well in this area of work.
Chair, I'm not sure. We should try and find a country with similar levels of pollution, and I believe Taiwan has also led the way. So I just think that perhaps there should be a few more countries proposed.
I wanted to ask the specific now, and our low research, thorough research done, if it comes back for us to take a proper decision as a starting group when we've got some time, and we have got a basis why we are suggesting that.
Okay.
Chair, it's just a matter of clarity. I'm trying to draw your attention to...
You can press something called the mic.
Yeah, I'm trying to draw your attention to the recommendation under National Treasure Bullet number 2. Now, when we talk about budget allocation and transfers for air quality functions, we ring fence or conditional, it is actually something that we had done with respect to transfers from the National Treasury to water and sanitation infrastructure in the fourth parliament. Because it was the same committee that had the water function to it. What actually happened was transfers used to flow to municipalities without conditions attached to it. And the water infrastructure grants that actually National Treasury used to give used to be appropriated as the municipality saw it fit. So this the same committee in the fourth parliament went into negotiations with the National Treasury that attached on conditionalities. And that actually happened.
So when we actually talk about ring fencing, we are not talking about what the National Treasury is averse of,
like fines that happen in the environmental sector must be ring fenced. We are not saying that. What we are saying is that the transfer that comes from the National Treasury should be ring fenced, should be conditional, so that it's not allocated to any other use. That's where the ring fencing here comes in. And then the other number two is the clarity also pertaining to the issues of the pollution based principle. The South African government is not going to say that polluters should now pay for any pollution that they have emitted. There is a threshold, scientific threshold, that is actually determined. And then the government actually says, okay, we can allow polluters to emit up to this far. And then you pay for the right to emit that far, which was not really detrimental to human health, environment, and so forth and so on.
On the second issue, we agree. It's the same threshold and everything else. But what we have not done, Doctor, and that's where we must push government, what we have not done is to get closer to those who go beyond the accepted standards, and that beyond causes this thing that I saw on TV to our people. And what is even more depressing that we have not developed a culture to deep speak in those communities to see what is the impact of this pollution, our people, to the ecosystem, natural environment, and to the economy. And of course, the externality costs that goes with this impact. Honorable Chair.
Chair, I absolutely agree that any grants given by National Treasury must be conditions attached. That's why I didn't say anything about that. But insisting that the municipality ring fence, then that's once again overstepping the boundaries of the different spheres of government. So that's why I just found the ring fencing problematic. Because neither Treasury will do it, and we cannot instruct municipalities to do it. In terms of the polluter pay principle, it is a globally accepted practice, and more countries are adopting it, but maybe what we can do is do some more research in terms of how it is being implemented around the globe. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think broadly we are in agreement.
maybe rather than having ring fencing, if such a fund will say if there will be such a dedicated funding, that funding must come with conditions from Treasury. So, but those conditions, they have to be shared the way it is entrenched, because those conditions will say this money will be used for 1, 2, 3, or 5. But we will see how do we then craft it. But we take the sense on what colleagues have said. But even for now, before we even do the research, honourable member Samuel, there is nothing wrong within the study of source apportionment, because indeed the intention of the study is to find those people within the polluter pay group, which is established already. So when we find within indeed you are polluting, you are the company that is polluting, and that your polluting has impacted in this way, you must then pay. We then implement the polluter pay group. From where I'm seated, with those of us who then be seated with the drafting, we have had you. You have made some recommendations, but in the main, you broadly agree with what we've got before you. In fact, we have even improved what we've brought before you, even in terms of wording of what we've got before you, and anything that might seem to be a duplicate, like the gold standard by municipality and the DEA, we are saying the municipalities must implement standards developed by DEA. We are in agreement with you. Again, considering, there's no considering municipality starts implementing environmental management, including air quality measures, does it? No considering. You are right. Good that you picked this up. But that's why we meet as a committee. It's nice for us to do the drafting sitting somewhere, but when you bring the draft here, it's so that indeed you enrich it, and you also pick up some unintended wording on the document. So we have not done so. We will go and after doing so, we will then send this to yourselves. But at the same time, we will put it in the ATC because we will take it that you agreed with the amendments that you yourself have put forward. But
just try to make it more formal that I'm moving for the adoption with the amendments. So you may look for the one in agreement of seconding so that it's clear that the committee today adopted the vote.
There is a move on. Any seconder? And then let's hear from other parties. Second. Come second either or hand. Of course. Colleagues, there has been a seconder and a mover so that report is adopted with the amendments that have been brought forward. We'll send it to you and then we will have a discussion in Parliament. And the discussion is important so that we make Parliament aware of the difficulties. It's our duty. So a debate is also a necessary one in Parliament. Thank you, guys. The report is adopted, and the other report as well adopted. Next one is the minutes. Do you have the minutes, colleagues? 4th August, day Tuesday, 4th August, how many minutes? We have 2 seconds. 4th August and what? I only have 1. Who's taking us through? Is it you, Mr. Makubela? Or your delegation upwards today?
Rose is cooking. But the other two, I can talk to while looking at this one.
From the seven.
Yeah. Say on the one for the seven, I did not see anything that is really a problem. I think it has a capture of the discussions of the day wherein we had the source as well as fund, and we deliberated on those wherein they presented what they were doing, what they were all about, and in terms of our resolutions, it was just to indicate that the 20 entities were requested to submit outstanding responses in writing, and that they should raise the committee on the relationship with strategic integrated project and strategic environmental framework sustainable assessment. And the meeting was then adjourned. It was not a very engaging meeting in terms of what they do now. It was just an overall interaction in terms of what they are and what they've been doing over the years since they were established. And I can certainly move for the adoption of those minutes.
Minute 7, I got the reason for any second. About maybe a second. Thank you. Next, 4th of August.
Chair, like I've been doing on this one, particularly item 2, that's when we received the third term committee program of the, it was more our own, we were doing internal issues of the committee, we were not interacting with other people. If you remember that it was just ourselves, Chair, wherein we received our own program, which we adopted in that meeting with amendments on the date, like removing the training of chairs and weeks, whatever, if you remember, just bring people up to speed. But also, we adopted the minutes on that date. We considered those minutes and adopted them on the 2nd of June, and thereafter, we interacted with the report that was now part of that. So it doesn't really make sense to go back to all of that. But the minutes, as been raised, look at what we did on that day. So there was no issue of real substance to say this is how we resolved and want to do the follow.
Move.
I do move that we adopt that.
Any second. Yeah. Thank you. This is what it is on that day.
It's not a major thing. My copy is not arrived and marked. So all of a sudden, Chileka brought something else which I thought I never read. You know, when I read the copy, I do indicate that I read it. So I've got now my copy. On item 3, Chair.
Is it grammar?
Yeah, it's not a major
joke. We will correct that outside.
Yeah,
you see, we have moved for adoption.
Yeah.
Now we can't go back. Whatever that needs to be corrected grammatically with the corrections. Yeah, we are adopting with the corrections. Thank you. Colleagues, that then puts up our work page for today. We have earned our salaries today. Edwards, you can go and tell your husband that you have earned your salary today. As to what happens next week, we'll keep members posted. Like we said, there is likely to be a training. that is being talked about. So we are not likely to have a committee session next week, but we will get members informed immediately, either today or tomorrow. But that is likely to happen next week. Yes, sir. No, it's separation. Yeah, separation. Yeah. Okay, so colleagues, that then closes our meeting. This meeting is adjourned until further notice.